didn't get anything in your phone, just made quick, quick, quick.
Honorable members, can you please be called to order now? Members, could you mute your mics, please? Honorable General Olamisa, please mute your mic. You disrupted this morning. Good morning. Could we start now? Honorable ministers, honorable deputy ministers, honorable directors general, General Sotole, our National Commissioner of Police, and other generals present here today. Before we start our meeting, could we observe a moment of silent prayer, please? I thank you. Once more, welcome to this meeting. It is a joint sitting of the committees of the Security Cluster, the Peace and Stability Cluster of the National Assembly, as well as the Peace and Security Clusters of the National Council of Provinces. You are welcome to this meeting. Allow me to thank you for joining the meeting and for the swift response. I do know that the meeting was called outside of the regular schedule of Parliament and that all honourable members are on recess. Honourable members, I received a letter on the 27th of July 2021 from the chair of chairs, which related to me the following, that during our visits, our oversight visits, we received reports of the violence in the two provinces of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. There were indications of serious lapses and in the ability of the security services, including the police. He has then indicated in his letter, Honorable Frolic, that it was crucial for Parliament to get a complete picture of the reasons for the unrest and the consequences thereof, as well as the response of the state. He then furthermore reiterates that this can only be done by means of a thorough inquiry led by the Portfolio Committee on Police and other relevant committees in the Peace and Stability Cluster from both houses. In the light of the above, he has consulted the House Chairperson for Committees in the National Council of Provinces, the Honourable Jay Nyambi, who concurred with the need for a joint inquiry. He has furthermore allocated a legal advisor, a senior legal advisor, to assist the committee to develop the terms of reference for an inquiry. He furthermore states that it is envisaged that the committee would report jointly on the matter by the time Parliament reconvenes for the third term. Before we look at the agenda, honourable members, allow me to do some housekeeping. Some documents were forwarded to you yesterday. Some of the presentations were encrypted. I requested that the presentations be sent to you in a non-encrypted fashion, which was done, so I apologize that it was done rather late. Furthermore, the presentation that I'm requesting now before we start the meeting formally is the presentation from the legal services so that we can establish the legislative framework for the establishment of joint committees of Parliament. You would appreciate that whatever work we do in this committee should be above the prescripts of the law and above all set scrutiny, and it should occur within the prescripts and framework of the rules of the Parliament of South Africa. I now call upon Advocate Chikela to do the presentation on the applicable legislative framework as well as the rules of Parliament when it comes to a joint committee. I thank you, Advocate Chikela. Advocate Savive and Jikela will now do the presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to honourable members and colleagues who are present in the platform. Chair, may I ask Babala to flash our authorities the presentation? Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity. As you have already briefly introduce the subject, Chair. our purpose today will be to speak to the legislative framework or regulatory framework, maybe I should say that, that governs the kind of inquiry that has been directed by the House Chairperson. Babalwa, if you can move to the next page.
Babalwa, could you please assist us? Thank you.
Honorable members, the Chairperson has already introduced how we come to be where we are today. There is a letter that was received from the House Chairperson for an inquiry to be conducted into the recent incidents in both KwaZulu-Natal and the Gauteng province. And the letter tasks the Portfolio Committee on Police and other relevant committees to lead into this inquiry. The inquiry, according to the letter, is meant to include the committees of both Houses of Parliament, which is the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. And the committees are directed to report before the resumption of the third term of Parliament. Next slide, please. Is Babalwa with me?
I'm not sure what moving on my screen.
Chairperson, just by way of a background, we thought it was important that we start to speak to what regulates the powers of the committees in the National Assembly. And as we have already indicated in the background that the Chair has already given, that the intention here is to have an inquiry by both Houses. But we thought it was important, since the Police Portfolio Committee was tasked to lead in this process, that we firstly reflect on what will empower the National Assembly and its committees to do the kind of inquiry. And in this instance, Chairperson, we refer to Rule 227, Sub 1 and Sub C in terms of the NA rules. In particular, this rule states that a portfolio committee may monitor, investigate, and inquire into and make recommendation concerning any such executive organ of state, constitutional institution, or other body or institution, including the legislative program, budget, rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organization, structure, staff, and policies of an organ of state. Now, this is the specific mandate that the rules give to the National Assembly. Next slide.
Babalwa, could you please follow the presentation and respond accordingly? We can't wait for you all the time.
Thanks. There is a bit of a delay on my side. I'm not sure why it's not moving.
Are you doing the flighting, Dr. Kinnis?
That's correct.
Okay, there seems to be a delay in the transition, Chair.
You may continue, Advocate Chikela.
Chairperson, I think I may have to open my own presentation from my side because my slides are frozen now. I can't see the next slide.
You may continue in that fashion, Advocate Chikela.
Just a moment, Chairperson.
In the meantime, honorable members, could you please ensure that you switch on your video cameras when you do speak? The staff, could you also ensure that the presentation that we're doing now is emailed to the members? Thank you very much.
Chairperson, my next slide. Where a committee is confronted with an uncertainty in respect of the matter that has been referred to it, in terms of Rule 2273, the committee may refer the matter to the Speaker for a decision, which a decision must be taken by the Speaker in consultation with the Chief Whip, in relation of which relevant committee must do that, subject to any directions that the Rules Committee or a resolution of Assembly may make. Now, coming to what we are confronted with here, Chairperson, and I will go back just briefly to the letter from the House Chairperson. The letter from the House Chairperson is specific that this inquiry must be done by the committees of both houses. And for that reason, all businesses that is joined between the two houses, Chairperson, is regulated by the joint rules of Parliament. In particular, there is Chapter 3 which provides for the joint committee system. Specifically in this respect, Joint Rule 15, Sub Rule 2, provides for the establishment of other committees affecting both houses in terms of Rule 142. We will speak to Rule 142 a little bit later. Other joint committees, this is the reading of Rule 15, Sub 2. Other joint committees may be established to deal with any matter affecting both houses, but only in terms of Joint Rules 142. It is important, Chair, to reflect that in Rule 1, in Rule 15, 1.1, the rules provide for the committees that are already established by legislation. One of those committees is the Committee on Intelligence, Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, which is already established in terms of the Oversight Act, Intelligence Oversight Act. The other committee that is established in terms of the legislation is the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, which is established in terms of Section 228 of the Interim Constitution, which section was preserved and remained valid until repealed under the current Constitution. And of course, there is another committee, Chairperson, which is Oversight Committee over the security services. But we know that the operationalization of that committee was suspended pending repeal of Section 228 of the Constitution, of the Interim Constitution. So that provision is not specifically applicable at the moment. So the other committees, the reference to the other committees in Rule 15.2 refers to other committees other than those established in terms of the legislation or the Interim Constitution. The establishment of joint committees is adopted by resolution adopted in the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces as per Rule 142. Now, this is the point, Chairperson, that perhaps the committee needs to deal with at this moment, is that Joint Rule 15 sub 2, inasmuch as it empowers the houses to establish joint committees, it specifically says those joint committees may be established by a joint resolution by the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, and that has to be done in terms of Rule 142. And what does Rule 142 say? It specifically says what I've just mentioned now. The Assembly and the Council may, by resolutions adopted in the Assembly and the Council, establish any joint committee. That is the requirement for an establishment of the joint committee. There has to be a resolution by both houses to establish such a joint committee, if it does not fall within the statutory and the constitutional committees that are already established. But the second rule that is of relevance, in our view, is Joint Rule 138. Joint Rule 138 provides for the establishment of an ad hoc committee to perform a specific task. This ad hoc committee may be established either by a resolution adopted by both houses, which is similar to what 142 says. But there is an alternative. Or if both or any of the houses are in recess, by a decision of the speaker and the chairperson acting jointly after consulting the chief whips of the majority party, both in the National Assembly and the Council of Provinces. Now, this chairperson brings us closer to where we are at the moment, that the houses are in recess and therefore they can't pass a resolution to establish a committee as required by 142 and 138. But the alternative to that is a decision by the speaker and the chairperson acting jointly and after consultation with the chief whips of the majority party in both the houses. And it goes on, Chair, to prescribe what are the time frames that must be prescribed. The resolution or decision establishing the ad hoc committee must include, among other things, time frames for the completion of any steps in performing the task and the period within which the task must be completed. But then in closing, it goes back and says such ad hoc committee, like any other committee of parliament, shall have all the general powers that are set out in Joint Rule 32. And these are the same powers that both the NCOP and the NA have in relation to the exercise of committee powers, which are those powers to summon anybody to appear before the committee, to produce a document, to report to the committee. These are the powers that directly flow from the Constitution, but have been codified into the rules for the ease of Parliament. Now, Chairperson, with those two provisions which relate to the establishment of committees of this nature, more especially for the kind of issue that is now facing the country, the committees once established in terms of the provisions, whichever may be expedient in the circumstances may be chosen, the committee then as established must adopt a clear terms of reference, which terms of reference will have to deal with the issues. One issue has already been stated in the rules, which is the time frames. But most importantly, the committee will have to set out what are its objectives and the scope of its inquiry. It may have to speak to the issues of public participation as imposed on Parliament by Section 59. It may determine its format and approach to the inquiry. It may deal with the issues of how it's going to process evidence and how it is going to comply with the requirements of Audi and other rules of natural justice. And of course, there will have to be addressed the issues of allocation of resources, the meetings of the committee, whether it's virtual, hybrid, or physical, and the timelines which are already stated in the two rules that we've mentioned. So the purpose is to ensure a procedurally fair process that is in accordance with the rules and the Constitution. And Chairperson, I need to say this at the stage, that inasmuch as we are focusing on the rules of Parliament in the presentation, there are very clear provisions which I suspect are not in dispute between the members of Parliament. One of those provisions is Section 55 of the Constitution, which speaks to the issues of oversight over the executive by Parliament. We have Section 59, which speaks to the issue of public participation or public involvement in the processes of Parliament. So those are already set and established and beyond dispute that Parliament has those powers in terms of this. But our presentation focuses specifically on what Parliament has to do in order to legally and procedurally establish the committees to deal with the issue that is currently confronting the nation. Chairperson, those are the brief presentations that we have put together in the given time to guide the committee on what are the possibilities that may have to be considered in establishing the committee or the inquiry that has been directed by the House. Chairperson, what I may not have said in my brief presentation may of course be elicited by means of questions, and if my colleagues from the committee staff want to add anything, Chair, through you, they may fill in the gaps that I may have left. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Njikela. Honorable chairpersons of the different committees of the National Assembly and the NCOP, we have the presentation from Advocate Chikela. It is very clear that we cannot proceed with a letter from the Chair of Chairs, and that the necessary rules of Parliament have to be followed before we can convene this joint committee formally. It is very clear, the presentation is very clear. As the chairperson, I propose that we stick to the rules of Parliament, and because we do understand that this matter is extremely litigious and we should not be found to be at odds with law. Parliament cannot, if it does not abide with the rules of Parliament. I would therefore propose that this matter be referred to back to the Speaker, the National Chair of Chairs, as well as the Chief Whip for further consideration, and that today this meeting is not formally convened as a joint committee, but that we allow the ministers of the JCPS cluster to do the presentation on the violence in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, as well as the situation in the Western Cape. I further then request that we do not consider the terms of reference which were sent to you, which was emailed to you, but that we continue now with the presentation. Before we do so, before we commence with the presentation, I'll allow for matters of questions, clarity or comments. You may raise your hands now, please.
Can you see my hand?
Yes, I have noted. No, General. Please, General. Very disrupted today, General. I've noted the hands of Honorable Whitfield, Honorable Swart, Sheikh Imam, Honorable Janki, and then Honorable General Wolemisa. Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to Advocate Njikela. Chairperson, two issues. The one is that the volume of information we received, you've already touched on, arrived incredibly late for members to be able to consider all that information. And the second issue, in respect of the first issue, I'm not sure that members have had an opportunity to fully interrogate the content of the information. And then the second issue I'd like to raise while Advocate Njikela is available is, on what basis would we proceed with this meeting? How are we constituted? And can we proceed in the manner that you've set out? I think Advocate Njikela has made it very clear how we should proceed, and perhaps it may not be regular for us to proceed at this point. So if you can just ask Advocate Njikela to clarify on what basis this meeting would proceed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whitfield. Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the invitation to the Justice Portfolio Committee. I just wanted to also raise the process that we are now embarking on. What is the legal process now? And we might have to take a decision that this is an informal briefing and not part of a formal resolution that will need to be discussed. I appreciate the legal input, but obviously that then raises questions, and I appreciate the fact that you've referred it to the Chief Whips. One of my main concerns is the number of MPs that will be involved, 50, 60, and then of course the time frame. If the time frame is the 17th of August when the National Assembly rises, that doesn't give enough time, and I don't think that would do justice to a proper inquiry. But I'd like, just at this stage, I thank you for your ruling that
much, Honorable Swart. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I've partly covered. My concern is that the impact of the presentation today from the security clusters on the actual inquiry that is going to take place, and I'm a little bit concerned whether indeed we should be proceeding or not. But if it's not going to impact negatively, then yes, indeed, it might be important to get a briefing by broadcast as to exactly what happened. But at the same time, like I said, I think we need to consider the impact of that on the inquiry itself. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, that we are only expected back in Parliament in August, like I've just heard. Does that mean we are going to actually wait to that first sitting before we actually take a resolution in order to put this inquiry together or not? And I'm worried if that is the case about the delay that that might have in actually getting to the bottom of exactly what happened and the impact of the violence that took place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Yangji.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the briefing. I don't want to waste time, Chair. I think I just want to raise a couple of issues. The first issue I want to raise is to agree and support you on your suggestion as to how we deal with this matter that has been presented by Advocate Njikela. I want to support that fully because from the NA side, that speaks to 7 subsection 3, because what has been presented gives a lot of doubt, and therefore the matter has got to be referred to the speaker. I don't even want us to get into the merits of what would have been in the terms of reference. So that's my first point. I fully support you that, so that we don't waste our time on that issue. But secondly, Chair, to just point out that when you say you got this letter from the chairs of the National Assembly, who said you need to get there are indications of serious lapses, you need to get a good picture of this, and goes on to say the only way to do that is by an inquiry. And the point, therefore, I want to make, Chair, is that the request for the inquiry, the basis for that, is already a full debate to even begin. I mean, I come from the Justice Committee in the NA, where the portfolio committee, where ministers and their deputies were in front of us, and we dealt with the issue in relation to that. Conclusion of that Justice Committee was not about any kind of an inquiry. So you see headlines coming to this meeting on television saying committees of police, defense, and justice are kickstarting an inquiry. Don't know where that comes from. So you have got the wrong basis just all over the place. So I really wanted to say, Chair, I think right, and I think it must be referred to the speaker in that regard. In fact, the joint rules, section 138, Advocate Njikela, was in your slide. It just refers to the chairperson, and you don't know which chairperson. But the rules are clear. It's the chairperson of the council, of the NCOP. And in this process, none of those, because the chair of chairs has consulted his counterpart in the NCOP, and there is nothing in the rules that allow us to do all of those kind of things. Sorry for being long, but the essence of what I'm saying is that I accept fully what you're saying. We have no base to even entertain this, which is in front of us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Janki. Honorable Wolemisa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and colleagues. I fully support the postponement of this meeting, especially that we received documents very late. Secondly, the inquiry has to take place. No doubt about that. We support that process of starting an inquiry. you cannot see so many people dying and then the properties being damaged, and we don't investigate that properly. And secondly, I don't think it's worth listening to the executive's briefing today. Let us focus on the start of this process. Ministers, they might be summoned at a later stage. If they want to brief us, television these days is there, they can go and brief us on a daily basis live. Lastly, the people of South Africa have seen how this process, chaos started, and it emanated from some people who call themselves as members of the ruling party. I'm a little bit concerned when you are saying you are going to consult, or the rules says you must consult with the whips of the ruling party. I would suggest that all the whips must be informed, must participate, and make sure that we come up with a proper and above board exercise. And if indeed this was started by a ruling party, this conflict, by misunderstanding between the members of the ruling party, how many of them will serve in the committee? Will we still use the same old method of dividing the members of parliament in committees? Because that would present a problem for us. You know what I mean. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Olamisa. Honorable Mapatswe.
Thank you, Chair. I don't also want to waste time, but to support your proposal, and I think many people here who have spoken, they are also in support that we rather follow the correct legal processes that have been presented here by Advocate Njikela here. So I think we should move forward to get to receive the presentations from the minister. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mapatswe. Honorable Hadebe.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. In Xhosa, there's a saying that ikhaceca okokatemka obekhulu. I fully concur with latter honorable members that you cannot proceed legally and legislatively in terms of the rules adopted in the National Assemblies. I don't even think it's necessary for us to even entertain the report at this current juncture. I would therefore, Chair, propose to you that we conclude on this matter until all steps and processes are followed as the rules of the National Assembly and those that of joint standing committees. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to all the members. Chairperson, I am covered in a certain sense, but I will be short. Firstly, I want to say that we must make absolutely sure that we follow the correct procedures. We must foresee that there can be some possibility of court cases coming from the investigation. And normally, if there's a procedural mistake we made, then we will not obtain what we want to obtain and the aim of the investigation. Secondly, Chairperson, I agree that we must, I think, not continue with further presentations on the matter as such. My third issue is, I think we must think on a smaller composition of a portfolio committee to investigate. I mean, I went through the documents. We're talking about six portfolio committees present and involved. That will be too large a committee to really effectively deal with this serious matters. So I would ask that we apply our minds to get a more or a much smaller composition of a committee to investigate. Lastly, Chairperson, it is absolutely essential that we must investigate these matters, because the public of South Africa is expecting from us as their representatives in Parliament, and they ask us, what oversight do you really have? So, Chairperson, it is essential that we must continue, but ensure that we follow the correct procedures. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Groenewald. Honourable Kola Bonner.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Look, I think we've all agreed that the documents, which are quite extensive, were received very late, and the announcement that was put out that the JSCI, on which committee I sit, will not only be part of this investigation but additionally run a second investigation, all of that has yet to be discussed by our members. I unfortunately don't see our chairperson on this meeting, but I don't believe our committee is in any way, shape or form ready to begin any process, which of course I think we've all determined and we knew before this meeting has to be permitted by voting in both the National Assembly and the NCOP. So doing a presentation now would mean that it will only be discussed perhaps some weeks in the future. I think it would be a complete waste of time and not assist us at all. There are many, many people on this meeting today. And indeed, as Honourable Groenewald has proposed, to try and run anything which involves 159 people, it's just not going to work. I have a great sense that justice should actually be leading this process, while the other entities, Defence, JSCI and Police, of course have their extremely important oversight role to play. I think the overall process in that it is inevitably going to lead to numerous charges, cases against various members who are fall under those categories. I think justice should by rights be taking the lead on this entire matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think the matter is very clear. The first point is that we all take our oversight role very seriously, and we agree that we must exercise our responsibility as parliamentarians very urgently. The second part that we are agreeing upon is that the presentation should be postponed and that we do not take further presentations. Thirdly, that we refer the matter to WIPS and the Speaker as well as the House Chair, and that inter alia they look at the composition of this committee which will lead the inquiry. Two, they will look at who should be chairing this committee. And three, they should discuss the prescripts of the what it is we will present to them, and we cannot present anything to them at this point in time. We are totally in agreement with this, and I have not received any counter proposals to this. Honourable Members, since you do not want to receive the presentation, and you have agreed that those presentations could be made in different portfolios and in other media opportunities, it then brings this meeting to an end, and we'll inform you of any other further decisions which have been taken. We'll then refer this matter back to the Speaker. There being no further other business, since you do not want the presentation, I therefore have to close this meeting. The meeting is then adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.